Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Hey!
Hello!
Hey.
Welcome back, my geeklings!
Necklace sniffer.
Is this thing on?
I think it is.
Testing! 1, 2, H, 12.
Welcome, geeklings!
Yes!
Welcome back. It's been so long since I've seen any of you.
Yeah, how was your geek weeks?
I had a frenzied geek week. I have been having a high turnover of people in my apartment while I'm looking for a new roommate.
Right? Uh-huh. So fun.
Until
Daddy took the T-Bird away.
A hardcore non-geek lived with me for a week while she was looking for a place. Right?
Oh. Wait. You brought someone into your house and she just lived with you.
For a week. Yes.
And she was non-geeky.
She was a non-geek when she entered my apartment.
How dare you.
I applaud you.
But she exited.
I have infected her.
Sounds like some men's dreams, actually.
Yeah.
Well, Another geek grenade.
She's a very beautiful young woman, too. I just have to say that. But because she may be listening to the show. I have no idea.
Hot geek? Why don't you introduce her?
She told me when she moved in, like, okay, like I saw that Battlestar Galactica thing, and like... I tried to watch Lord of the Rings. I fell asleep in the first 5 minutes. I just don't understand these things. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, we're going to talk.
So I put in Farscape because I'm watching those right now.
Yeah. Oh, what do you think?
Still. I'm still not there. I'm assuming second season is where
storyline. Have you gotten to Scorpius yet?
No.
Once you get to Scorpius,
right
you're
now,
sold.
I'm disappointed in the writing. I think the design is beautiful. Like, it's beautiful, but the plot is dumb most of the time, and the dialogue ain't so hot.
Yeah, nothing like... Babylon 5 season 1.
That's why I said I'm willing to sit through to say a season 2 because I am dedicated to art.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, you got a hot I want to get back to this hot
hot chick. Watching.
All right. So she's she starts watching the Farscape and she goes, "Are those Muppets?"
Aha.
Like, yeah. She goes, "Ow. I like the Muppet Show." Apparently she really likes Rigel. Like, she just fell in love with Rigel off the bat, and, you know, there you go. So now she's interested in seeing the rest of the series. She's just moved out today.
Telling you. So. Kat, my girlfriend, non-geek, just is a Farscape addict. She wants to rewatch all four seasons now.
I can understand that. I have at least three people I've introduced Babylon 5 to that have watched the entire series twice now. You know?
Woo!
Yeah.
All right,
well now I have to tell you.
Hang on. Oh, we're not done with all geek weeks. Come on.
Poor Peter's in the corner like, I did stuff too.
Yeah.
I had a week.
Peter, how was your week?
Why don't you tell your week, Pete?
It's awesome. I finished a script.
Oh!
So, very bad. You know, it's got lots of
problems.
Bad stuff in it I got to fix, but we got 130 pages, and then we cut it down to 115.
Fantastic.
So, and...
Wow, you were good with that knife.
Yeah, and well, I'm going to have to do some more. So
spare the knife, spoil the baby.
Yes. So then...
You stab your kids?
It's a writing thing.
Oh.
Writing thing. So Neil's birthday party was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
I only caught the end.
We went to Sunil's birthday party out in this, like, freaking desert wasteland. But they had these go-karts that when I'm, like, filthy rich... I'm building that thing in my backyard.
Nice.
It was so freaking fun. I didn't think it was going to be that fun.
It was like bumper carts with go-karts.
Did anybody else notice that they had these smudges on their forehead when they went home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It spit out soot. Like, because you're literally inches away from the guy behind you because you're trying to race. You're racing that hard.
Nice.
And you're going like 20 miles per hour.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. Yeah.
It was fast.
Yeah, you're trying to... Sometimes people spun out a little bit, you know. They might have had a little
help. You're cutting people off. You're like,
see, what I want to do with that, I want to combine that kind of go-kart racing...
With laser tag.
With, no, paintballs.
Oh, okay.
Like, I want it to hurt when you hit someone.
You know? Actually, it does hurt when you run into someone.
It does
hurt. But I'm not shooting you.
People have some whiplash.
I want my racing in real life to be like, I want my racing games.
Yeah.
I want a paint missile on the front of my go-kart.
This place was great because it had the go-karts, it had putt-putt golf... It had laser tag. Laser Tag was actually not as fun.
And it had crap-ass video games. They were horrible.
The video games were not so good.
No.
But actually, these days, there are not many
We'll take you down to, like, Dave & Buster's and some of the adult video games.
I don't really see many good video games anywhere these days, because it's just everyone's got them at home. You've got your PlayStation. You've got your Xbox.
Well, keep in mind, there are two types of arcades now. There are game rooms, where they have really old video games that probably been out in the arcades for at least 5 to 10 years, right? And then you have the specialty video game parlors.
Yeah, which are all the dance games.
No. These places tend to have video games that have been specifically designed for them, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, XS New York has... XS New York has this game where you get strapped into, like, a Robotech type thing.
Yeah, MechWarrior.
You know, and they have MechWarrior fighting, too.
Yeah.
But they have things where it's like you're flying in a jetpack up the side of a building, right?
Yeah.
And so as you move in the jetpack moves you, and the screen is large enough so it looks like you're flying up the side of a building.
Funky.
And you're trying to shoot people through the windows.
So I've never had any of those be very good, though.
There was one back when Wizards of the Coast was cool in Seattle that was incredible. That had real mech, and you got inside, and it was expensive, and you went up, you know, you got up into the stomach of the mech, and you moved around.
And the graphics were decent?
It was fantastic.
Huh. Yeah.
It was really, really fantastic.
Interesting.
But they're expensive as hell.
Right.
You know, that's the trade-off.
Yeah.
You know?
But I was cool in my geek week.
Oh, please.
No, I was cool.
Please!
Were you Matt cool or actually cool?
You were in a freezer or what?
No. I was... Hey.
You traveled to Alaska or
no.
something?
No, I was on strong medicine, and I'm in the main plot line, so the whole story is about a bomb in the ER, and I'm locked in there with the other two doctors, and that's going to be really fun, so watch the show. And then my manager said, hey, come out to this Paul Newman, Robert Redford opening party. So I went out and, like...
They're gay?
Real nice, Aaron. Real nice.
Okay.
But we went and it was kind of cool seeing the stars and stuff like that and having, you know, canapes with everybody. But the Rockers come out and what they've said is that Macy Gray and Mark McGrath, are gonna headline.
Mm-hmm.
But
I love Macy Gray.
I love Macy Gray too, but Mark McGrath, I just wanna fly, you know, whatever. But the backup band comes out, and I'm like, I recognize that guy, but I don't know from where. I recognize that guy, but I don't know from where. And then they start introducing people. Now, I am not much of a rocker, but it was Dave Navarro from Nirvana.
Oh, you're...
No.
What? Okay, I'm sorry, go on.
Dave Navarro. They had the bassist from Jane's Addiction, the drummer from The Cure.
You got my sloppy seconds.
Did I get you sloppy seconds?
That was my Christmas party last year.
Oh, really?
My corporate Christmas party. Macy Gray, Dave Navarro. And all these other people.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know any of these people, but
neither do I.
Name.
They had the
I am so not a rocker.
Lead guitarist from LA Guns. They had one of the guys from The Police come in.
No, I don't think we had.
They and the big capper to it, I know I'm missing people's names. Oh, yeah, they had one of the guys from Metallica. It was crazy. But the capper was all these guys suddenly get this beaming look on their face, and they go, and here's this guy. And I'm forgetting his name, too. And it was the guitarist from the Sex Pistols. And that was cool because, I mean, even I, you know, the Sex Pistols, even though I know nothing about rock, exist somewhere in the back of my cultural consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm laughing that you're calling them the Rockers came out on the stage.
Whatever. I'm a geek. But he's like 60 years old and pissed off wearing his t-shirt that says fuck you and his jeans. And all these agents and managers in the audience are taking pictures of him with their camera phones. And he comes out and he goes out and he looks at all the camera phones and he spits his gum on them, which was awesome. And that was it. That was me being cool.
I had a nice geek moment this week. It was not so much a geek moment. It's just a writer's moment. I wrote a short piece for a theater group this week. And I was actually freaking out. I called all the other geeks. Because
you did. You were panicked.
I was panicked because I turned this thing in and I'm like, it's a piece of crap. It's a piece of crap. I know it's a piece of crap. Shit. I go to the piece, and it turns out my piece blows all the other ones out of the water. rocked out, did a great job. I'm so happy. But one of the best parts was one of the performers there was a writer for the Jay Leno show.
Uh-huh. Really?
And I got to chat with her a little bit afterwards, and she said some very nice things.
Excellent.
That's good.
Even though she bombed. But, you know.
But hey.
She likes my stuff. And she writes for Jay Leno, so.
Groovy. All right, we should wrap. We should move on. It's like already 10 minutes in. We haven't even started our news.
No. 10 minutes.
News.
Oh my God!
We just erased everything we did, and we would be 10 minutes back, and it would be 10 minutes shorter.
Don't tempt me.
Nice.
I have the editing tools. Okay.
Do not anger the gods.
Great God, Hendrix.
I'd like to bring up some news that was announced on our boards.
Do we need to introduce ourselves?
We should, probably.
Hi, I'm Peter, and I'm a geek. I'm a writer here in Los Angeles.
Matt King, actor, geek, here in Los Angeles.
And let's reiterate. This is Peter.
Oh, yeah, this is Peter. I sound exactly like Matt, so you'll be very confused.
And this is Matt.
And this is Matt.
Yeah, he just
lowered
his voice.
His voice
I lower my voice. If I go up right here, then I sound like Peter.
And if I go down like here, I don't sound like anybody.
Right.
Are you guys just trying to add length to this damn show?
Damn,
just go.
He's caught on. Let's move it on.
He's caught on.
All right, I'm doing
so
news.
Sorry, sir.
This was news.
I'm Don.
That's
I'm
Don.
A geek.
Don's a geek, and I'm Aaron. I'm doing news right now. this was brought up on our boards. You know, if this wasn't brought up, I would have never known this. So thank you, everybody.
Actually, boards are great for learning some news.
They're bringing some awesome news stories to our forums right now.
I think the guy's name's Uwe Boll. He's a German director.
I think it's Uwe.
Is it Uwe?
I think it's Uwe.
Uwe Boll?
Sure.
Okay, we'll call him Uwe Boll. He's a German director who's brought you the House of the Dead and Lone of the Dark video game to movie pieces of
I have to admit, a part of me still wants to see Alone in the Dark.
But it's supposed to, I mean,
I loved the video game.
And he's now logged Blood Rain, which I guarantee will be a big piece of shit. Also,
do you know who stars in that?
Ben Kingsley.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yeah. Well,
even Ben can choose bad ones.
Yeah.
Oh, he has.
Right.
Yes, he has.
Well, he is now going to. He's announced that he plans on doing a movie based off the video game Postal.
Oh, God.
You know, that big piece of shit video game where you just run around and pee on dead people and do everything horrible. They're going to make a video or a movie based off that video game.
Why?
I don't know, but I looked them up on the.
Nobody greenlight this.
Well, it's already been greenlitified.
Oh, for God's sakes.
By who?
Yeah.
Trauma.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Essentially, it's joking. Probably we like that. Know. But he's on slate for on IMDb for a whole bunch of video game movies. 2006, he's already in post-production of In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege tale based off Dungeon Siege. That's already in post.
I like want to groan repeatedly.
Announced Far Cry, which is a real drag because that could be cool.
That could be
and
cool.
And he's just going to F it up. Hunter the Reckoning.
Oh, God, no! No!
And Fear Effect.
Don and I really like Hunter the Reckoning.
No. I haven't played it. I'll have to play it now.
It's kind of fun, Pete.
It's like Gauntlet with modern
you're just
going
to stay tethered to each other and your supernatural hunters.
It's fun.
But, you know, people just keep giving him the movies. I mean, come on, people. You go and watch it. This is the shit you get. Stop watching this. Stop it. The geeks out there are the ones watching it. Stop watching this pieces of shit.
Okay, I'll stop right after Alone in the Dark.
Let me just point out that these are not movies that are really going to be made by the studios. You know, like as
but they're putting the money up for them.
Yeah, they're out in the theaters. Yeah. These aren't straight to
DVD. I'll bet you they're under budgeted. I'll bet you all of these things are like...
That's what I was going to say. They're
here's
probably,
$50 and a piece of string. Go make the movie.
Well, exactly. They're putting out some millions for this.
Well, no, but millions is $50 and a piece of string in terms of a movie.
Yeah. But give me some millions and I'll make some damn movie.
Well,
bitches.
All right, Peter. Okay. What you got?
Geeks on the movie, man.
Geeks on the movie.
Four geeks who fight the system.
Yeah, it's a four-hour-long movie because you guys can't damn introduce yourselves without going on and on.
Who are you?
I won't be the editor. We'll get poor Lisa to sit there and slog through 4 hours.
Right, Aaron, you're making this podcast too long. Will you shut up and let me tell my story?
I'm kind of picturing Lisa and Aaron locked in a room for 18 months making this thing. Yeah. Who would survive? Two geeks right. enter, one geek leaves.
Could cell phones stop traffic? I'm voting for Lisa. So the Missouri Department of Transportation is negotiating with private contractors to monitor the movements of thousands of cell phones. The idea is that by telling when the cell phones move from one tower to another, they can figure out how fast traffic is moving in different places and therefore monitor traffic.
Smart move.
So interesting. I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Is that it?
That's it.
So what do you say?
No, I'm just kidding.
That was a layup. All right, cool.
Well, I got to go fast. I mean, I got all this pressure on me. True. I mean, come on, man.
True.
Go, go, go.
So I have to breathe.
That vein in his head is going to
burst. Details on 11.
And it's your fault, Aaron. So this is the eye devoted. I want everyone to look at the picture. See?
Eye devoted.
The eye devoted.
Okay.
All right.
It's like
what
a cross.
It is. Yes. It snaps on to your eye shuffle. And it allows you to wear it around your neck, a big old cross.
Oh, let me see it again. Let me see.
It's a big old Christian cross that snaps onto your eye shuffle.
So it uses the length of your iPod shuffle
correct.
As the part of the cross.
As the base
and then
of the cross.
Snaps a
crossbar on the top
That's
of it.
That's a great idea.
Right. And what's even better is that you can get the extra pieces that you want. You can get the whole Christ and the blood, and it's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Inspired by the world's, this is what they say, inspired by the world's obsession and devotion to the iPod, I Believe is a social commentary on the fastest growing religion in the world. The I Believe is constructed using the same materials and precision ball bearing snap fit as your existing shuffle cap, so you can relax knowing your precious soundtrack is safe. Just toss your old cap habit, notice they use the word habit, pop on the divine I Believe and rejoice.
Wow. You know, Bill Maher.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bill Maher had this as a joke last week. They had like the I God, I think it was what it was.
It's, oh, God.
Well, maybe it is a joke. Maybe.
Nope, it's true.
Well, I mean, I'm not the most religious person in the world. Lord knows I'd.
Really?
Oh,
no.
Back off, mister.
No.
But,
don't sell yourself short.
Am I the only person here that kind of smacks of blasphemy to?
Like,
to aggressively
fine.
Market. Symbology.
Oh, come
you know?
On. People have been aggressively marketing religion for 2,000 years.
I know, and I think that's blasphemous, too.
As long
I
as mean, you have all Black Sabbath songs on your eye shuffle, you're fine.
Who knows? The money might go to charity.
Exactly.
Well, I guess that kind of sits in well with my first news story.
Rocket.
Mm-hmm. The Gospel According to Anne.
Who's Anne?
Anne Rice, who has disappeared from the public eye for about 2 years.
I thought she got swept away in the floods or something.
No, no. She actually doesn't apparently live in New Orleans anymore. She has moved, though she keeps property there. In 2 weeks, Anne Rice, the chronicler of vampires, witches, and under the pseudonym A.N.
Roculare,
thank you, of softcore and S&M encounters, will publish Christ the Lord Out of Egypt, a novel about the seven-year-old Jesus, narrated by Christ himself. I promised, she says, that from now on I would write only for the Lord. It is the most startling public turnaround since Bob Dylan's Slow Train Coming announced that he'd been born again.
Yes.
So Anne Rice is now writing Christian literature.
Interesting.
Well, however, wow. it's
Jesus is now gay. He sucks blood.
Well, I don't know, but I read a little portion of this article from Newsweek here. Yet in the novel's best scene, a dream in which Jesus meets a bewitchingly handsome Satan, smiling, then weeping, then raging, Rice shows she still has her great gift to imbue gothic chills with moral complexity and heartfelt sorrow. I think Christ does Satan in this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably with a butt plug that looks like a horse's tail.
Wow! Over the line.
Whoa.
I read her books. She had so many of those things in her books.
Line is 10,000 miles that way.
Well, we can edit that out, right? I'm sorry, Flash.
Yeah, really. Flash Gordon is going to come over
can
here.
Can we put a beep over that?
You know, it seems like it's just happening. Flash Gordon, you know, Cat Stevens.
Anne Rice is the last one I expected, though. You know, it's not like she's sacrilegious.
But
she's
not. Remember when we were doing the research on the people who hate geeks, and part of it was, and I said there were all these witches and these
people who converted.
Yeah, they're very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
They like writing that. Type of stuff.
Isn't there a biblical thing that says there is no person who's so adamant as the person who's been converted?
God loves no one more than a sinner redeemed or something like that.
I don't know.
I'm so paraphrasing. I have no idea.
Okay, Aaron, go.
Well, this isn't news, but I want to talk about a game that Peter and I played, and a lot of geeks out there know about it, but a lot of them don't, non-gamer geeks. But this game, I think, is made for non-gamer geeks. I think this is a great introductory game to war games, especially World War II games. It's called Memoir 44.
Okay.
It's a two-player game.
Okay, I got to stop and say, the title, it actually sounds like it sucks. Memoir 44, you're going, Memoir 44? What? This game was awesome.
Okay. It's a great game.
I admit, I fell trapped to that right now.
Yeah.
He said Memoir 44, and I'm like, oh, good.
Yeah, I know.
I thought it sounded intriguing. That's why I picked it up.
Ton of fun.
Memoir 44, it's a two-player game. It's kind of at a squad level, I think. You know, it's each square represents a squad of men or tanks or whatever. But the rules are very simple. It's also partly a card game where you have to command your troops using different orders placed on these cards. But the great thing is that even though the rules are very simple, I thought it really did a great job of representing some of the problems you might have fighting a war, especially in World War II. For example, Peter, who was playing the Germans, was protecting in this scenario two bridges in which I, who was playing a British troops, was trying to take over. He was already established and had entrenched and had barbed wire protecting the bridges, and I actually had more men than he did. And I actually had a hard time just getting through the barbed wire. And it's not like complex rules. It's very simple rules, but it affected you enough where you could see the problems that were presented probably historically with these in this real life situation.
Very cool.
It's also very... It takes about 45 minutes to play. I mean, it probably took us a little longer, but we were figuring out the rules. I think we could probably play that game in a half hour, 45 minutes, which is a great length for even me, but also introductory gamers out there.
And eventually you can play Starfleet Battles.
You can work up your way up to Starfleet Battles, but this is
Starfleet.
Wow. This is a great, great introductory game, and in fact, you guys should all play it. It's great, and they also have some expansions coming out for like the Russian front and a whole bunch of other
that could be fun
extra scenarios. But I also want to bring up, since a lot of people have a hard time meeting other gamers face to face, there is a new online board game program that's cross-platform. It's called Vassal. If you go to vassal.com. This thing is freaking awesome because you can take any game, card game, board game, and you have to build the module yourself. You have to scan in the cards and stuff. So it's not really violating any copyright protection right off the bat. And then it makes a little module that you can then give to a friend, and then you can play a board game, any board game, card game, online.
That's awesome.
But on the Vassal website, they have the modules already, and there's already like 100 of them.
Wow.
Memoir 44 is one of them. Talisman, they have the entire Talisman game you can play.
Oh, Hercules.
Online.
Hercules.
Online, you can play with people.
Cool. Is that Vassal, V-A-S-S-A-L?
V-A-S-S-A-L.
We'll put a link on the website.
We'll put a link on the website. They've got modules to help game masters who just want to role play. So it has like dungeon tiles. So if you combine this with Skype, you can sit there and have complete role-playing sessions as a die-rolling mechanism. Everyone can see the die rolls.
That's cool.
Cross-platform, Macintosh people can play with PC, all that. But the other cool thing is that you don't have to play live. If you want to, you can play through email. It makes an email file that you send to somebody. They upload it. It moves all the pieces. You do your move. It sends it back and forth. And you can also combine it. You
that
can,
could be a really long okay. game of Talisman.
Who out there wants to play a game of Civilization with me? Not Sid Meier's Civilization, the original Avalon Hill Civilization.
We'd have
Come
to
on.
See if it's on here, because I'm sure, unless you want to scan in all the...
cards and everything?
Cards and everything.
I don't think I can afford that game now. It's like $300 on eBay.
A lot. The cool thing is that this has a lot of games that are out of print. The modules.
Right.
So all these people are playing games that...
That's so
can't
great
get
that they have Talisman.
Yeah. And they have a lot of the modules.
That's cool.
Anyway, it's really cool. Space Hulk, Illuminati, the card game's on here now.
Nice. Nice.
And it's very simple. Now, the only problem is there's almost zero documentation for this. The guy just kind of made it, and everyone's helping out kind of build these modules. So... Even though it's actually very easy to play the game, if you want to build a module, which is also easy, it takes a little bit of like figuring it out how to do it.
Are you going to publish your card game that you're inventing on this thing?
Maybe.
Maybe you should.
Maybe. I might do it. I want to kind of take the old game Asteroid, which is out of print, which is one of those 120 Game Designer Workshop 120 games.
Games Workshop. I love those.
Great freaking game. Yeah. And they're all the games that were made in the 120 series were supposedly it only took 120 minutes to play.
I wonder if Titan's on there. I used to love Titan.
All right.
I don't know.
We could riff on this for years.
Anyway, it's a great thing. Check it out. We'll put it...
You notice how when we're talking, we have to move really, really
Yeah, I noticed that.
Darren's trying.
I only have two news articles. That's it.
Yeah. He you know, it's all right. It's Aaron.
I understand. Yeah.
For those of you not watching, that's actually just Pete talking to himself.
Right.
That was completely silent through the entire exchange.
So, I just want to mention really fast... because you brought up games. Aaron lent me Ico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he just mentioned that it was a great game, really fast, a ton of fun.
Video game.
It's for the...
PlayStation 2.
And it's a great game.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It is a lot of fun.
It's really, really fantastic.
It reminds me of the old King's Quest games in a weird way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except that you pick up less objects. You know, you don't really pick anything up. But it's a puzzle game, and it's got these beautiful levels.
Mm-hmm.
And the character animation is great. And you actually really start to care for these people, even though there's, like, no story whatsoever.
Although there are a few times when I really wanted to beat the princess with a stick. But, you know.
That's actually why I quit.
Those are the two things that I have.
I was like, I'm being moved to violence against a 14-year-old girl. This is a bad dude.
No. Okay, so my article is, Toyota engineers a shrub.
Finally.
Yeah. So the Toyota Motor Company.
Kind of mileage it gets.
Well, you know.
has developed a derivative of the cherry sage shrub that is 1.3 times more effective at absorbing air pollutants than its parent stock.
Wait, 1.3?
Yes.
Times?
Yes. So it's just it's a small nudge. But, you know, that's a start.
Yeah.
You know, it's the beginning of something, you know.
Especially since they're saying now trees are having a harder and harder time getting rid of carbon dioxide.
Yeah, well... They're being overwhelmed, I'm sure.
And it's cheap. The plant sells for $3.34 each. And it also diminishes the urban heat island effect 1.3 times more effectively than cherry sage.
Really?
Now, I mean, you know, I don't know how effective cherry sage is. It would be like the least effective plant that's doing this ever.
Come on, get your facts straight.
Yeah. It doesn't say. We don't know. You know, that's one of the things they point
out. Damn that ineffective cherry sage. You know,
but I just thought it was great that someone's trying to do this.
Yeah.
I can't help thinking too little too late, though, you know?
Well, we'll see.
Oh, no, we're all dead. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you know?
We're done. But, like, how cool is someone's, like, you know, at least trying? I mean, we've all given up. I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right. So, PA Semi made its new debut. I know that means nothing to you now.
PA Semi?
PA Semi. They emerged from virtual anonymity on Monday and introduced its first set of general-purpose processors for computer, networking, and consumer electronics equipment. Now, what they promise is that they are much, much better at getting rid of the heat than every other processor that's out on the market. So they're trying to compete big time with Pentium. The quote, the next wave of microprocessor and innovation is contingent on solving the problem of dramatically increased power consumption. We had to start from scratch, rethinking every step to achieve our breakthrough performance per watt design. The dual-core PWR-efficient processor can be 10 times more power efficient than similar chips on the market.
Ooh.
It runs at 2 gigahertz but uses only between 5 watts to 13 watts, which is like infinitesimally smaller than what's currently out there.
The laptop, there's some laptops now that you can't even put on your lap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they get that hot. People are getting burned by putting a laptop on their lap. Mm-hmm. That's BS.
Mine gets a little warm.
Yeah. So does mine.
But the startup's going to roll out the single-core and quad-core version of the processors in 2007 and the 8-core chip in 2008, and it looks like they're going to compete heavy. They're just, right now, they're looking for additional money because the cost of developing manufacturing is expensive.
You know, that's part of the reason why Apple's changing its architecture to the
PowerPC. Yeah, to IBM.
Because they couldn't get their chips to cool down.
Absolutely.
And they're trying to get the speeds higher and higher and higher, and it's essentially you're building an oven now.
Yeah. And these guys now can really, really reduce heat. We'll see.
Well, you know what the next stage in this is going to be is
quantum computing.
Well, probably before quantum computing, they're going to have radiators basically in your computer.
Well, they have radiators. I mean, that's what a heat sink
is. That's what a heat sink
is. No. I mean, a radiator operates off of liquid.
Oh, this is a liquid cooled.
Really?
Yeah. You can buy it. It's been out for years.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. Apple's had to now because they're just too hot. Now that comes standard with liquid cool system.
I'm behind.
Yeah.
You are a behind.
Damn.
All right. I have a behind.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Matt. Well, I have a quickie here. Online phys ed takes hold in Minneapolis. So now you can...
This is my cup of tea. Yeah.
Wait a second. Online phys ed.
That's right. You can now study phys ed online.
Okay.
Come
on!
It's not what you think. Basically now, students can sign up and apply to take their phys ed classes outside of the school curriculum, so that their phys ed will no longer compete against like German or math for time in school. That way they can use their extracurriculars like martial arts classes, like swimming or dance classes, whatever you want.
So phys ed isn't the physical part of it. It's like learning like health?
No, they're saying I can go take my taekwondo class outside of school and get credit.
Oh, as long as you actually go to a place
so like they give examples for a few guys here who like a 17-year-old guy with a hip displacement who can't run, right? Mm-hmm. It would hurt him to run.
Right.
Can now study his martial arts.
Take
He's
a
like
lap,
a fifth degree black belt.
Uh-huh.
Want to finish that sentence?
No.
He's a fifth degree black belt, so he can study his martial arts, and that will apply towards his.
I could see that. I mean,
the trade off is one that a parent or supervisor must always sign off on every one of the 3 half-hour segments they must do each week, and they have to pass a physical fitness requirement at the end of the year.
Does bullying count? The fight after school.
Bullying.
Yeah, if you can kick somebody's ass.
If you can kick somebody's ass
off.
And then sign off.
If you're more physically fit afterwards, apparently so.
You sweat if you get your ass
apparently
kicked.
You get bullied, sure you do.
I think it's fine. You know, as long as it's legit.
Well, my question is, it sets a precedent, though, of, you know, not having to go to school for something, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want my math classes to compete with my German. Can I just study math at home? You know, I have a cashier job.
Yeah,
I have to work with money constantly.
But if you have the chance of taking a better course somewhere else in math, wouldn't you? I mean, that's the point. It's like, I don't want to go and just run in a circle in PE or play dodgeball. I want to go and learn martial arts.
Well,
play what, Darren?
Dodgeball.
The phys ed class isn't just about physical fitness. It's also about building team. I think there are other aspects to it that are very healthy or necessary.
Right.
Even if
you had a better PE class than I did.
No, I
didn't. We sat around
and
played dodgeball.
My phys ed teacher was my mortal enemy from 8th grade on.
Don would beg
to
differ.
I told you this story, didn't I?
No.
All right. To summarize, we had a Ren Fair every year at my high school.
Uh-huh. Right? Of course you did.
We did. It was our spring thing. And in 8th grade... I was on the joust beam, right, which is a balance beam where they give you a quarter staff with a big boffer thing on each end,
right,
and you get to take on all challengers.
That's how old were you?
It was eighth grade, so I had to have been, what, 13 or 14?
13. Yeah. So you were 6'9 at that point.
Yeah, about that. So I was dominating the thing, right?
I'm of course. Up there.
Nobody can take me down. Finally, the man who would one day become my phys ed teacher next year got up on that beam, right? And he was this ex-college jock, right? He was like probably mid-30s at that point. Mm-hmm. And so the jock, right?
Right.
And he didn't like the concept of like some little fat kid just taking him out, right? I swept his fucking feet out from under him. You know, I knocked him on his ass 3 times on a row, and the last time he hit his head on the way down, right? Yeah. I think on someone else.
You were doing laps
from
for
that
weeks.
Point on. No. From that point on, every year in high school, it was tumbling time. Acrobatics, you know? And you know what? I am, with my body type and my height and my size, there's no base point for me to start from.
Yeah.
You know? I can't participate in that without physically endangering myself or other people. So I didn't have phys ed for 4 years, you know?
Wow.
So you fuck you, you know? No.
He just fell.
You know, okay, Aaron, imagine this.
Tumble.
Imagine us, you and me, doing that exercise where I have to grab your feet, you have to grab mine, and then we roll across the floor.
Yes.
You want me as that partner?
That's okay. You know? That's okay.
Leave it at that.
Anybody else got
I got one more.
Cool, I do too.
How many people here have color printers?
Me.
Okay. Did you know that when your printer prints, most likely it has a secret code hidden in there? That the Secret Service can use to track back to your printer?
Secret code in my printer.
In the ink?
In how it prints. When it prints color documents, it puts little yellow dots hidden in the in whatever it's printing.
The man is keeping me down.
So the Electronic Frontier Foundation recently broke the code behind these tiny dots to figure out what they do. Now, the Secret Service maintains that it only uses information for criminal counterfeit investigations.
Wait a second.
How did the government get that into...
They got agreements with all the people who were making these because they were worried about counterfeiting.
What?
Now, just so you know, it's going to be kind of hard to see, but there are yellow dots in here. If you look really carefully, you can see...
They look like big gray blotches.
Yeah, you could see yellow dots here. You see where I'm pointing?
Yes.
Okay.
Somewhat.
So if online, when we tell to our viewers, they actually have to print this out. They can't see this on the screen, right?
You can't see it on the screen. You'd have to use magnification, and then probably in order to see it best, you would want to put a blue light on it to make the yellow dots show up. That's what they've done here. If you look carefully, I'm going to pass this around.
Very interesting.
You can see the little yellow dots.
I can see the little yellow darts starting to form.
And here is what they would look like if you kind of...
Oh, my God.
If you highlighted them.
I mean, you can see. It's a whole code.
This is you're about ready to do a joke, right?
No, I'm not.
This so sounds like a conspiracy theory.
No.
And now, is it the exact printer each has their own code? Or is this a per manufacturer?
I'm not sure.
I bet you it's per manufacturer, if anything.
Probably per manufacturer. So,
wow.
But
that's some bullshit right there.
I thought it was really interesting.
That is some severe bullshit. I'm very curious. I'm going to hit that link right after the show because I don't believe it still.
Okay.
That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
I mean, you're calling me a liar.
No, I'm just shocked.
It's really interesting, isn't it?
That's interesting.
Yep. All right, ready? And
I'm
just
alarmed.
The most serious, you know, news story to follow that. 6-foot snake found in a New Jersey family's toilet. All right. A blocked drain at a home in North Plainfield, New Jersey, led to the discovery of a 6-foot snake in the family's toilet.
Alive?
Yeah.
Didn't we see this in a movie recently?
Yeah, probably. This was in Hard Ticket to Hawaii, my favorite bad movie. According to the local 6 News report, Pete and Debbie Bias suspected there was a problem with their home's plumbing system after nearly a week of messy backups. The blockage moved mysteriously from the toilet in the basement to the second floor bathroom, according to the report. The couple decided to move the toilet off its base to investigate the problem and found a 6-foot Brazilian rainbow boa named Freddy.
Now, how do they know what it was?
I called my wife over and she took a look at it and she said, yeah, it looks as if she said, yeah, it looks like we have a snake in the drain. Police called in a local pet store owner. They grabbed it by the head. They pulled it out.
I have a question.
So what did it do? Lived in the pipes eating shit?
It was not determined how Freddy wound up in the toilet, but the Bias family suspects it entered the home through the sewer system. you.
Well, there might be.
It was that snake that was flushed down the toilet and it lived.
That's not possible. It's cold-blooded. It would freeze to death.
They have.
Actually, no.
No. Anacondas and stuff like that live in water all the time.
Yeah, they live in the water where they have access to sunlight, not in the dark metal metallic pipes underneath a concrete insulated floor.
Hey, man.
Have you ever seen the steam that comes up from sewers in cold places?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's a warmer, you know.
So we have two stories.
You got to go to the lake, man.
I'm not buying it.
They got here. Well, it's a bad picture.
That's two stories in a row where I call bullshit.
because my printer sucks. You can't really see it, but that was the picture of the toilet with the snake in it. But they have three or four pictures of the toilet with the snake.
It's all covered in yellow dots.
Yeah, you can't see it. Yeah, exactly. It's got too many mysterious Illuminati, you know, messages.
Nords.
Now we know what Nords are.
Yep.
They're able to see the yellow dots. That's
on printers.
That makes so much sense.
Now you can finish the book.
Dots.
That's what a Fnord is. Yes. God, that book. All right.
Is that it for news?
I think that's it, man.
That is it for the news.
Geek news.
Let's do...
We love you, Aaron.
Your top five horror films.
That's right. This week, because of Halloween, we decided to talk about our horror film picks and just a little about why we like them. I'm a big horror fan, even though 99% of horror movies suck. But for some reason,
Wait a second, horrors sucks?
I can't think of another genre that puts out as much suckage as horror.
Yeah. I know, and then one
even
that
sci-fi,
I keep going,
which is notorious for suckage. I mean, doesn't it come close to having?
Now, this
ratio
is our top five.
Well, this is we're just talking about horror in general. We're going to do our top five. We're going to talk about why those even frighten you. What your horror pet peeves are. Also,
mine are all tied though.
Tied?
Yeah, kind of. My top five are all tied. They're all kind of one.
Mine aren't tied at all.
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to predict that three out of the five of the things we pick are going to be the same.
Probably.
I would say two.
Two?
Well, I would say two.
I would say with you, because you're more eclectic, but I think that out of the rest of us, three out of five.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so what I'd recommend is as we go down our list.
Okay.
If we have one that is on someone else's list, shout out as that person says it.
Okay.
So we can
save
a little time and get some meat of things.
Rocket, let's go.
Who wants to lead us
off? Peter, what's one of your first ones?
Jaws.
That's on my list. Now, for me, Jaws and Psycho were split for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were on the same.
But what number is it for you? Are these numbered or are these just our five, period?
I don't think they're in a particular order. You don't have to, unless you've got them in order. I had a hard time. I kind of picked my number one.
Okay.
But after that, I had a hard time putting it in order. Okay. So that was kind of at my bottom of my list. Jaws / Psycho.
Okay.
Okay.
Who wants to do the next one?
Matt? Psycho was at the bottom of my list.
I should have put Jaws on mine because I'm still afraid of the deep end of the pool because of it.
Yeah, me too. It's like going out into the ocean. It's always
Psycho
creepy.
Didn't make mine, though.
Really?
Psycho is an interesting movie to me.
Psycho
it's good.
Freaked me the hell
didn't
out.
Didn't scare me in the slightest.
Oh,
I thought it was pretty scary, but it's not my top five.
Okay, then Don, what's the one on your list?
Okay, the one on the top on the list for me is the current Dawn of the Dead. Okay.
What?
As far as straight up horror goes, for me, you can't beat dead things that want to eat you chasing your ass down.
Okay.
It's not the shambling undead ones, which I find spooky and eerie and setting kind of a tone that I find very scary. It's this one was shrieking things, ripping your door apart that used to be your mom that wants to eat you
now. Okay, now, and I hope this doesn't ruin the next one on your list, but 28 Days Later wouldn't hit above that?
No, because 28 Days Later was more of a thinking movie to me. Right, I picked
28
this
Days
one
Later
specifically.
Freaked me out. Yeah.
I picked this one specifically, okay, very specifically, because this one was more kind of heart beating, you know, action terror, right? Whereas 28 Days Later to me was more conceptually scary.
Aliens. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
right.
You know,
so you
I don't buy it, but okay.
Okay, interesting.
No,
interesting.
I enjoy 28 Days Later more.
Like,
I think it's a better movie.
Okay.
The opening 10 minutes of Dawn of the Dead scared me more than any other movie has scared me.
Really?
The opening 10 minutes terrified me.
Okay. I actually didn't see it. I was like, eh.
I'm going to go pick it up.
I recommend it for the opening 10 minutes.
All right.
I would say the second half of the movie is a tremendous letdown.
All right.
But the setup to the movie is wonderfully done.
Okay. When you mention your loved ones coming back on you, I really thought 28 Days Later had that panic feeling all the time, as any one of these characters are about ready to get it, and when they do, they're going to go.
And we are
28 Days Later. It's a great movie. I'm so not bashing on it.
Right. Yeah.
But it lacked one very important element of the zombie genre that scares me,
mm-hmm.
which is the consumption thing. Right. Mm. The 28 Later Days zombie want to kill you.
Right.
They want to rip you apart. They don't want to consume you the way the other zombies do.
Got it.
And for some reason you've read some of my things.
Yeah.
There's a consistent element in a lot of my writing of consumption, things that want to make it so that you are no more and you are absorbed into them.
Right.
That terrifies me about zombies.
Interesting. Okay.
Do you have dreams about being a chicken leg?
No.
And being consumed?
Okay.
Aaron. All right. Well, since Jaws and Psycho was one of them, then my next one is The Shining.
Yep. Number two on mine.
Shining was number two, almost number one on mine.
The Shining, to me, by far the best Stephen King horror movie.
Agreed.
I don't care what Stephen King says.
See, now, the thing is, there's certain moments in movies that have made me jump a lot more than other movies.
Yeah, like, yeah, me too.
In Pet Sematary is the moment when he closes the mirror and there's a guy behind him who's just died in an accident or something like that.
No, there's been plenty of movies that have more like instant scares,
yeah.
but that none of these movies on here fall into that category. Mm-hmm. I'll explain later.
The Shining is a slow burn.
The Shining,
very slow burn.
But it builds and builds, and toward the end, you are just absolutely unwound.
And see, I think that's the best thing about good horror, and that's why it was always number two on my list, is that The Shining builds dread. It doesn't build horror. I mean, lately, horror has become equivalent with gore, and
yes.
we haven't done
right.
dread, and that sense of dread, like The Others.
The Others was almost on my list because of that, even though there was too much wrong with that movie.
The Others, I loved The Others, but it didn't scare me. You know?
Oh, no.
I was fascinated by it.
I was just like, oh, God, please. Ugh. It just kept on going, that sense of dread. Ugh. Peter?
Alien. Alien's one of my top five. I mean, I gotta
tell you. Was on my number one.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to get your lips surgically attached to Ridley Scott's ass.
Yes, pretty much. But Alien is the reason why, pretty much. That and Blade Runner.
Right.
Alien was probably one of the very first movies of its genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the... I can't explain it. I mean, it's... It was the first of its kind.
Right.
And everything tried to copy it.
Arguably the best.
Yes.
I mean, actually, inarguably, it is the best of its kind. There's nothing that's been able to do as good of a job.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting because the two movies that have affected me the most in terms of fear have been Jaws and Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jaws, like that whole water out in the ocean thing, a little creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Alien, I've had so many dreams with those little face huggers coming after me. I can't tell you.
Really? I've had shark dreams.
The facehuggers aren't a part of it.
No,
for me.
To me, it's the it's the organism
inside you
yeah.
that grows and rips out of you. I mean, I remember that
Freud would be having a field day with
that
this.
That fits your consumption thing.
It does.
It does.
Alien is a huge part
but
of that.
But the alien living inside you, even before it gets you,
it's
parasitical,
consuming you,
inside
consuming you.
I'm telling you, I remember right now, after seeing it so many times and then seeing so many copies of it, it doesn't hit as hard. But I remember the first time that thing came out, and we had never seen really an alien that used you to incubate.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, I can't tell you. I just was like, my heart dropped out of my ass. I was like, some severely scary shit.
Okay, now wait a second, Aaron. When you maybe you'll know the answer to this. I seem to remember they're saying they didn't tell the rest of the table in when they were filming that scene that it was going to pop out of his chest.
Yeah, the rumor is only a couple of the actors knew. They knew something horrible was going to happen and there was an effect, but none of the actors knew the extent and exactly what was going on is the rumor. So when there is for one shot, so there is a shot in which the thing comes bursting out and everyone starts getting sprayed with blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor is that some of those reactions are because they didn't know that a thing was going to come bursting out of that with blood that spurted. they knew that, you know, they, I mean, they knew what was going on pretty much, but they didn't know the extent of what was going on.
Interesting.
And they were,
okay.
They were so grossed out that some of those, like, that spray and gunk look came from just not knowing what was coming on. Now, that's a rumor. I don't know for a fact. But the, another thing about Alien is the feel that it's, you're like peeking in on the crew. It is so, it gives that kind of reality check for
again,
me.
Again, Dread.
Yeah, that you know, this is, you know, this is the first time I've seen characters in a horror movie mm-hmm. act like something bad just happened instead
yeah.
of just
yeah.
running upstairs, jumping in bed, and effing because you're teenagers. Yeah. Hello. The woman in that apps has a mental breakdown and never recovers.
Yeah.
What's the card game with the one of the cards is I've seen your breast and now you must die.
Oh, the,
you know,
the
movie. Grave Robbers from Outer
Grave
Space.
Grave Robbers from Outer Space. Game. Brilliant. Brilliant. I was just thinking of that because it has all of the horror movie cliches.
Yeah.
Which absolutely we're talking.
We should
about.
Bring that up later to help people how to get that.
Now, one of the things we were going to talk about is, well, not well.
Are we done with our five?
No.
I was going to say. Mine is actually more specifically about a director than it is about the film itself, but the film scared the living crap out of me, was The Ring. And more specifically, mm-hmm. Ringu, which was, oh my God, frightening.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the Japanese version, the Japanese girl who they got to play the little girl just, I mean, It really whacked me out, and the fact that, you know, there's these lines like you helped her. Now Ring 2 completely, you know, dissembled.
But that was the same director.
Yeah.
The first Ring was not the director.
No, the first Ring was the Japanese director.
No, was not. The second Ring was the Japanese director.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay.
I haven't seen the second one.
No.
A big old egg.
And a big
the
egg.
Original American Ring was not the original Japanese director.
I know a lot
Ringu.
Of people didn't like the American Ring, but I have to admit, it scared me.
It scared me. Okay, here's the thing about The Ring, and another movie almost made it on my list that has the mm-hmm. same thing. The Ring and Jacob's Ladder has yeah. moments that their visual, the visualness mm-hmm. of it is scary.
Now, that was a question I had to ask, was what are we constituting as a horror film? Because there are certain movies which scare the living bejesus out of me, but they're not defined as a horror movie. Like Saving Private Ryan scared the bejesus out of me because it's a war movie.
I think horror is like pornography and art. You know it when you see it.
Right.
And slashers and monsters. That was my definition, honestly.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, okay. I don't know if Jacob's Ladder would...
Slashers, monsters, and aliens. I would not call Jacob's Ladder a horror movie.
Oh, I would, definitely.
I really wouldn't. Like, Jacob's... And there's a... What was the other one?
I feel like Jacob's Ladder fits in that... Line, I feel like it fits in that Twilight Zone-y yeah. area.
It's a fantasy.
It rides that line.
I would classify it as a fantasy. You know?
Omen?
That's horror.
That's horror.
Because there's a...
Demon?
Demon, okay. Okay, the little boy's a demon. Okay.
Let me just throw out The Omen is one of my top five.
Put the dog down, Damien. Put the dog down.
I think conceptually it's scary.
I have problems with The Omen.
Best craft. I think it's a very well-crafted film. Okay. I think it's one of the classics, you know.
It is one of the classics, but for some reason it never really got me. And I'll explain, when I hit mine, I'll explain why it almost fell into my top five.
Okay.
Well, moving down my list, The Exorcist has not yet been brought up.
That's the one that's on my list.
Yeah. The two I bet is on everyone's list is The Shining and The Exorcist.
Yeah,
Shining
much.
Is not on my list.
Shining is not on your
I
list.
I thought Alien would be on everybody's list.
But Alien is on everyone's list.
No, it's not on mine.
It's not.
Oh. Alien didn't. I saw Alien like a few years ago, so it didn't scare the poop out of me. And I'd seen too many Alien films.
I just thought it was wonderful.
I saw Aliens
first. I just thought it was
wonderful,
but it didn't scare the crap out of me.
Oh, interesting. You know?
I was a little jaded by that point.
Okay.
Hmm.
So The Exorcist, yeah, definitely. Now,
The Exorcist is one of those movies that I had seen so many times on edited TV.
How about The Exorcist Redux?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. I had seen it on TV edited so many times mm-hmm. that when it finally got re-released, I was like, I can finally see it on the big screen. That'll be fun. La, 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 la. Fuck, make it stop. You know, that scene where the little girl flips over backwards and skitters down the stairs.
That was the only thing I think that was worth saving.
I lost my shit.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
got so scared when I saw that.
That was good.
Extreme profanity and blasphemy coming up right now. There's a scene where she grabs a crucifix and she's stabbing it into herself again and again, screaming, fuck me, Jesus.
Yeah.
I was
scary.
St- stunned and shocked that, I mean, I've never had such a visceral reaction to a movie.
Okay, this brings up the reason why this one's almost on the top of my list, because this was number two for me. Biblical horror scares the living daylights out of me.
Really?
Okay. And The Omen, in its best moments, that's when it comes into play. All the other stuff, to me, wasn't scaring The Omen. But this is the reason why some of the movies that where things jumped out at me, I maybe became more scared and frightened for that half a second.
Yeah.
But I can turn The Exorcist off,
and I'll be scared
for another hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that is a great movie.
And for the two of us, it keys into both of us, because one, it's the biblical thing for you. Uh-huh. And two, it's the consumption thing for me. This thing is eating her soul.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? I know a lot of people were arguing with me. I loved Exorcist 3.
Really?
Exorcist 3 is a great movie.
It's not bad.
It's directed, written and directed by...
Which one is this? Because there's one I haven't seen.
The second one, do not watch.
The second one is the one with the locusts.
Right.
Does that have Linda Blair?
Yes. Do not watch that.
The third one is the one where...
it takes place like 20 years later.
Spoiler.
It's been 1980s.
The third one is the one where the priest that falls down the stairs at the end of the first one comes back.
It's great. It really is. And it is this. It feels in the same theme and style of the first movie.
You and I just watched The Exorcist The Beginning, didn't we?
Yes.
It was you and me?
We decided we were going to... Because we talked about it on Geeks On, and we decided to go see it. And
Was it a pile?
It's a pile.
Oh, so bad.
And you know what? It had a couple of really great seeds.
That makes it worse.
It makes it really bad.
That makes it worse because you go, oh, you could have been good.
Genuine promise.
My problem with Star Wars. There's seeds of greatness.
There's a part in that movie where they explain that Father Marion, who is the hero of the Exorcist movie, he's a young man in here, he was in World War II and experienced some horror there. German horror, not any type of crazy.
Right.
Yeah. And
so you're sort of shell shocked.
Well, yeah, but it's a little bit different. And it really, I was like, oh man, they really had something going there. That could have been the real genesis and the main, really kind of dirt and roots and just completely dropped. And then it became just a complete splatter fest and just lame.
See, that's I think
ghost
you know,
things run around. It's really it was disappointing.
Well, we'll get into that. We'll talk about pet peeves with these things in a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else we got here?
Oh, The Thing is on my top
five. That's a good one.
John Carpenter's The Thing to me, another great cast that acted like they were in trouble. The paranoia of the way they interact with each other is just freaking great.
But again,
nobody trusts anybody, and has a. I love the ending. It's got an ending that no movie.
It's a fantastic. Well, it's great because it ends at the beginning. Also, you know that when you see that dog, when you've seen the film before, you know that the dog is coming from something where
that just happened.
It just happened again.
You know? Right. I mean. It really is, it is extremely gory, and it does go over the top because it is a John Carpenter film, and it looks a little 80s because it was made in the 80s, but it is if you guys out there have not seen John Carpenter's The Thing, which is a remake, go rent it. It is a blast to watch, and love that movie.
Okay.
Love it. Peter? Any others on your list?
Yeah. Rosemary's Baby?
No.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
No. And The Omen. Now, these fall into a different category for me.
Okay.
Because I already mentioned The Omen.
I have one of those, too.
Yeah, because
you got the biblical horror down. That's what obviously freaks you out.
No, because these don't scare me. They're not scary. The Omen is not really scary. And Rosemary's Baby is not really that scary.
No.
But they are great horror films. You know, they do something different, you know, but they're really well-crafted creepy
to
film.
To me, Rosemary's Baby is creepy, but it just, and I like kind of creepy, slow moving, but it is just way too slow for my taste. It needs to get to the point way sooner.
Right.
Do you guys know the famous story about Polanski in there, what he did with the camera at one point?
She's leaning on the phone.
She wants to see the guy on the phone, and so he cuts the guy off. Yeah. And the whole audience goes,
leans over to the side. Yeah. If you ever watch Visions, the movie Visions of Light, it has all the stories like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's where it was from.
So these, the next two on mine, they were my number three, but now they're my number two. Their tied is Silence of the Lambs, and is tied with Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It is?
Yep. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and
the remake, the one with Leonard Nimoy?
The one with Leonard Nimoy. And granted, I saw these when I was a chicken shit kid.
Right.
You know, but that one scared the pants off me. You know, absolutely scary. Yeah, just scared.
That's the, scary shit right
the
there.
Scared.
The end?
Yeah,
where
the
he,
point, the mouth opens, yeah. And that sound comes out?
Yeah.
That's some scary
scared
ass shit.
Scared the pants off me. And then I saw the original as well, and that's
the original
something,
was great.
Something
really
about the Invasion of the Body Snatchers just gets right at me.
To me, the thing was Invasion of the Body Snatchers on, like, crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Consumption movie.
So's
the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but and
it's a popular
Silence
thing.
Of the Lambs consumption movie.
So
can you hear the lambs screaming? Please?
Indirectly,
yes.
Well,
the
no, I guess so. With him, with yeah. I always think of Buffalo Bob as being the actual
Buffalo Bill. Yeah.
No, Buffalo Bob was
Buffalo Bill.
He wasn't the horror of that. You think
yes,
he was?
Yeah.
He was the Skinner.
Scary about what's his face? He's kind of a psychological.
Well,
rubs the lotion on its skin.
Now Lecter's just as bad. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You
I
have
thought
to
Lecter
go,
was what really.
You have
scared.
To go to the demon to.
It's it depends on what you're looking at.
He was like,
know,
doing
like
psychological.
He's the
torture.
Psychologically scary one. The other one is the visceral.
No.
What part was scary about him talking to her?
No. It wasn't about him talking to her. It's when he pulls off the fleshy mask. It's when he beats the guard to death while listening to
that
know.
Was more action that there wasn't anything scary about that
really
Lecter scared the crap out of me
because Buffalo Bill didn't but, I have no I barely remember the guy
oh really oh he scared the crap out of me
well I'm not saying he was the icon in the movie I'm saying he's the thing that made it creepy and scary for me
are you a size 14
alright like Matt I have a quick tie on this one that I'm not entirely proud of right. These two are not necessarily the highest of the pinnacle of the genre, but there was something about each of them that terrified me. One is The Stand by Stephen King.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I think I pull most of my horror from that from the book.
Yeah, the book is...
I mean, I think that's why I was still so scared when I watched it. But the first half of it, when the plague is loose and people are dying left and right, combine that with these strange visions that people are having in the middle of that. That was scary to me.
Now, this was a miniseries, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a miniseries, which I enjoyed up until the end.
Wasn't Gary Sinise in that?
He was excellent in it.
I didn't see it.
And Rob Lowe is a mute.
First half, the first two episodes or so of that miniseries were, I thought, really scary.
Yeah.
I thought they were great.
There's a scene where...
I'll watch it if Rob Lowe is
mute. Everyone
in
New York is dead. Right. If you haven't seen it, it's really worth watching.
Okay.
Everyone in New York is dead, except for these two people trying to get out, and a couple other people who have just gone fucking nuts living with dead people, right? And so they have to walk through the Holland Tunnel to Jersey.
I remember that scene in the book.
Which is filled with dead people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bumper to bumper, dead people everywhere.
Hmm.
Terrifying, right? The other one, again falling in with my consumption theme, is, and I'm so ashamed to put this on the list, Phantoms.
Oh, you got it.
No, but there's something about that those things taking people, becoming those people.
I could even understand Salem's Lot. But
wait, isn't that the one with like the Swiss Army knife floaty ball thing?
Wait, I thought Phantoms were there.
I don't remember that.
It's like a big
It's a big silver ball, and it goes, shing.
And it's got like
that
blades.
May be that's Phantasm. That's Phantasm 3.
That's Phantasm.
Wait, isn't
Phantoms is the, oh God, I can't believe this man is on anything I like. Ben Affleck and, I'm trying to remember who the woman is.
Is this in an airport where there's something eating?
Okay, the premise of the movie is this woman is taking her sister away from home because her sister's getting into drugs and boys and stuff. So they drive up to this town in the middle of Canada, right?
Of course.
And they arrive at the town, and there's no one there. They can't find anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they're going through the town, phones keep ringing. They pick it up, and there's this sound on the other side that sounds almost like voices trying to talk to them.
That sounds cool.
Every electronic device in the town starts dying. So, like, they can't get their car started. The phones don't
work. Is this
one
of these aliens snatch the entire town, they're drifting in space thing?
No.
Okay.
No. But what basically is
happening
is the premise of the movie is there's this spoiler for those of you who haven't seen it.
Spoiler.
Okay. I'll watch it
you don't want to see this movie.
Yeah, I don't think you'd like it very much. No. There's this sentient
oils.
Like, oil.
Oh!
Right? And that they, comes up and it...
They make little worms, they crawl into the door and stuff?
No.
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 Are you making up this movie in your
it
head?
It absorbs people, right?
But I've seen this.
It absorbs people and it can masquerade as them.
Mm.
But the deal is, as it absorbs them, it absorbs their memories and the last things they were thinking. So the last thing that most of the people in this town at 8 was thinking was, this thing is the fucking devil come to get me.
Mm-hmm.
So it begins to think it is the devil. Mm-hmm. And it starts mm-hmm. taking the actions the devil would take. Hmm. And according to the perceptions these people at 8 thinks.
That's a good pitch.
It was a good idea. Donald Sutherland rocked in it, but not the best ending.
Yeah,
yeah, it was not.
Aren't they all congregated in a big something or other?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Okay, so...
I still have a number one.
Aaron?
What's that? So, no, that's our list, okay. Right?
Well, I still have a number one.
As
well.
Oh, you do? So, okay.
My number one, when I was 9 years old, made me stay up for a week, couldn't breathe, had a big vomiting issue with this one. Just so you know, when I was a kid, I was a real geek, and this is Matt, and I had a thing where I would hysterically vomit. Right? It would be like, Matt, you're going out. No. Matt, you're going out. No.
It wasn't just vomiting, from what I hear.
Yeah, it was like...
It was projectile stream vomiting.
Yeah, projectile stream. Yeah,
bazooka vomit. Like exorcist action going on.
Anyway, so I saw the movie Poltergeist.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one.
Hmm.
And Poltergeist scared the ever-loving crap out of me for so long. Poltergeist is one of the reasons why I like films now, because in order to function as a human being, I had to go out and find out how they did all the special effects for the movies.
To show that it wasn't real.
Yeah. So, I mean, my dad recommended that I do that because I think it was the third night after me seeing that film, and I had horrible nightmares every night.
Okay.
I owned the clown.
Yeah, that was a good
that
idea.
That grabs the kid and pulls him on. There was a tree outside my window, and there was a closet at the end of my bed. Sorry, I'm throwing things in the studio.
Okay.
And this night, right, I wake up 3 a.m, and the clown's gone. It's gone. I freak. He's under my bed. I'm going insane. The clown's going to get me. I do this enormous leap out of bed, thinking that he's going to get me, and tear ass down the hallway, starting to vomit as I go. It's just coming. Bang into my parents' room, just vomiting. And they're having sex.
Oh, God. This and that's where the real horror comes from. Yeah.
The story of the movie that ruined Matt's life. Yes.
Now, that's at the top of my list now.
Okay. You've reminded me of something, actually. Trilogy of Terror.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Never even heard of it.
2 out of 3 of these things were like, ha, 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 lame, lame, lame. I was like 7 years old or something, and the people across the street... They showed this. They were watching this film, and they had us come over and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one episode in there that, when I was a kid, scared the crap out of me about this woman that sees this sort of like statue of a, you know, African tribesman or something,
mm-hmm.
that you can't take the chain off of his neck because he'll come to life.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then she accidentally knocks the chain off and he comes to life. And it's basically the precursor of Chucky. He chases her around with a knife.
Little okay. statue with a knife. Yeah.
Now,
I can imagine that doesn't look good today.
Now, I got to tell you, I was curious to find out if this was just something that... I mean, because when I was a kid, I used to... When you get up and have to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, it scared the shit out of me. Because there's a scene in there where she's in the bathroom and the thing's got a knife going underneath, cutting her feet.
Right.
And so... I watched it again to see what it was like. That thing scared the fucking shit out of me again. It is a well-crafted,
awesome,
scary, short little piece. It is well shot.
I've got to see this.
And the other two are like, you're cracking up about how bad they are, because
mm-hmm.
they're different directors for each of them. This one is scary.
Hmm.
So
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I should have put that on my list. I forgot about it.
Well, my last one is one we can't end this segment without, which is, of course... Get Out! The Amityville Horror. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. I just... The book was... Now, which one?
The original.
Okay. Because, all right, with the hellhole.
The original thing. Was the first. I mean, mm-hmm. it's.
Because they just came out with one that was really based off the book.
Oh, yeah, but I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's good. I mean, I'll go rent it before Halloween.
The book almost put me in the grave.
Really?
Really? I mean, it is scary. I've never read it. S. I mean, it is really effing scary.
I'll have to borrow it and read it sometime. It's, but
I haven't read a horror novel.
But, like, people died and
shit. This was the first one.
In the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't happen in the book.
This was the first one. I mean, this was the first horror movie I'd ever seen with bleeding walls. This was the first one, you know, with the voice. Mm-hmm. You know, with the great camera work. Like, when you think everything's done, she's cleaning up in the kitchen, and this camera walks up from the cellar, slowly opens the door into the kitchen where she's washing dishes, and walks slowly around the island until it's right behind her before she turns, and that's the end of the movie. You know, it was fucking terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I thought that movie was crap. It was crap.
Okay. But I mean, for me,
when did you see it? How old were you when you saw it?
I guess it was in high school.
Yeah.
For me, it's the king of the haunted house movies.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of another haunted house movie.
Now,
with the possible exception of Poltergeist, which is Poltergeist. Less stark, raging evil than yeah. that.
Now, I've seen it recently, and Poltergeist did not scare the poop out of me anymore.
Okay. Right.
But as a 9-year-old, man.
Now, I'm not entirely surprised, but now that I've heard Amityville, I'm a little surprised that none of the classic slasher, you know, like the original Friday the 13th, none of those
Halloween ever, stuff like that didn't scare
like
me.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't see the attraction in them.
Oh, the original. I thought the original. Yeah. Some of those original
Halloween, original Friday the 13th, original Nightmare on Elm Street.
That, yeah, the one I'm surprised that didn't make it on anyone's list is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
I consider to be the most creative of that slasher genre.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Look, I mean, Candyman, for God's sakes, you know.
Those aren't my type of thing that, you know.
I'll have to tell you, though, when Jason jumped out of the lake at the end of the first Friday the 13th, I literally jumped 30 feet because I thought the movie was over. And that thing came out of the water and grabbed her in the middle of the lake. I swear, and it happened to me. The only other time that ever happened to me was in Exorcist 3, mm-hmm. when this nun comes from out of nowhere down the hall of this hospital with shears. I guess I blacked out for like half a second because I literally was in a different spot in the room when I woke because I was frightened so much. And I kind of jumped and landed somewhere, and then it only happened to me twice. It's Friday the 13th and Exorcist 3.
Did you have a little
That's
vomit?
Awesome.
Did you have a little vomit burp? Just a anything?
Okay, I gotta say That's I was wrong. I thought that, you know, 3 of 5, I thought that Jaws, Alien, and The Exorcist would be on everyone's list.
No.
I figured The Exorcist.
I thought Alien would be on.
I figured Exorcist Shining. And The Shining. Yeah.
And Amityville Horror, I thought, would be on more than just mine.
No.
But it's, I mean, come on. When you think haunted houses movies, what is the, can you name another classic?
Poltergeist.
Yeah, the ultimate classic.
The one you can't remember?
Yeah, with George C. Scott and the doors that bend in, the old black and white.
The Frighteners?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
The doors that bend in.
Yeah, no, it's a very old movie, and it's called, it's like The House of Something. What? Look it up.
They did it for
everyone knows what we're talking about.
They based it on the Disney based their haunted house on it.
Oh, my God. I can't
yeah, it's that a, it's like the classic of all classics. It's all mm-hmm. mood, though.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Doors, like, literally just start to bend.
With faces in them?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen
this. Oh, damn
it. We'll have to watch it.
I'll tell you after this. Everyone knows what we're talking about.
A haunted house movie sounds really appealing to me always. Like, that sounds scary to me.
Yeah.
You know?
So let's talk about what makes things scary.
Well, I've already touched on it for me. Consumption.
Yeah. Vomit.
Like, for me, that's the difference between a slasher flick and a zombie flick, right? The slasher flick wants to kill you, but he doesn't really care what happens to your body afterwards. Mm-hmm. The zombie wants something that's in you. You know, the vampire wants something that's in you. The demon wants your soul, something that's in
right.
you. You know, and they want to take it from you and make it part of them.
Okay, I have a theory on what makes things scary. And it kind of encompasses everything.
Mm-hmm. This is very psychological. You could really do sort of psyche analysis on us due to what we find scary.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, you're going to find this. You're going to find this completely interesting
mm-hmm.
in terms of me. But it has to do with control and helplessness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? So I think what makes things scary is about not having control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Feeling helpless, feeling vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for example, Jaws. I mean, what could be more scary? You're in the water.
Mm-hmm. And you can't see what's underneath
you. You can't see what's underneath you, and you can't move very quickly.
Incapacitated physically.
Incapacitated physically.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You're out of your element of...
See, that's why Poltergeist scares the crap out of me, because you can't do anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There is nothing you can do to affect these people. The little midget lady doesn't work.
Right, right.
She has a plunger, for God's sakes.
Alien. Okay.
Now, this house is clean.
Sorry, go.
There's a reason that Alien is so scary. Okay. And it's not because there's a creature. It's because every fucking thing on this ship looks like that creature.
No, okay. To me, the thing that's scary, like some of the most horrific moments was like when it was inside you. Once a monster is inside you, what are you going to do? You're going to take Tylenol?
No, you're right about that, but most of the
movie...
It's
in you. You're
I heard
amoxicillin
clears the aliens
up. But most of the movie, the monster's not in you. And if you watch the movie, every single shot in that movie has something in the background that looks like it might be the alien.
Right, yeah.
So you spend the entire film going, is that it? Oh, no, that's not it. Is that it? Oh, no, that's not it. And they just go on and on, and everything looks like the alien.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
And then in terms of your consumption...
And it's that little skittering bastard thing.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of consumption, that's about losing control of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I agree with you.
You know, something inside you taking over you, you know, like,
right.
like you know.
Exorcist.
Losing your identity.
Where is
you know,
Jung
the unseen,
when you need
him? You know, so anyway, that's my thing. Oh, now, and then the other one, what makes The Exorcist so scary is its theme. Okay. And there are a couple movies that have this theme, and that's what, and the theme is, evil is more powerful than good.
Yeah, true. Yeah. You know? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people disliked The Exorcist. Because when the priest asks God to cast them out of the girl's body, he doesn't. In fact, the priest has to personally take the demon into him and then fling himself out of a window in order to defeat.
It's an interesting point. Like, I wouldn't say necessarily that this is part of a definition, but it seems to me that seems to be the big divider between horror and fantasy. In fantasy, evil is powerful, but good's always got an ace in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
In horror, good is always is good. Doesn't have
good fighting
the whole.
A big old
well, wait,
battle.
Alien. She defeats the alien. She outsmarts the alien.
I'm not saying good always loses in horror, but Alien is infinitely more powerful than she is.
But
and she does not have an ace.
But
in
quite
the
frankly,
she gets lucky.
A movie, a fantasy movie where the bad guy isn't infinitely more powerful than the good guy sucks. You have to have an infinitely
That's what
more
I'm
powerful.
Saying, though. The good guy has an ace in the hole. That's a one shot. That's one great moment where he can overcome them.
Right.
There's some special thing the good guy's got.
I think that's all horror movies. Horror movies have the ace in the hole at the end.
Lord of the Rings was not that scary.
Unless it's a tragic movie.
You're misunderstanding what I mean by ace in the hole. I'm not saying good gets lucky in the end and happens to open the airlock just in time.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying, the difference is like... Warlock, have you all seen Warlock?
Yes.
Okay.
So sadly.
I know, but I think this is a good example. In Warlock 1, mm-hmm. an evil warlock from the past comes into the future mm-hmm. and is running roughshod over these people, right? Doing mm-hmm. all these horrible things.
Much
them.
Blood ensues.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a horror movie because
right.
they have no special powers. They have no way to... They run.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
In
he
Warlock
makes somebody into
2,
a sculpture.
The evil warlock comes from the past, is trying to do all these horrible things to these people.
Right.
But the good guys this time around are druids and have special powers they're trying to learn in time to use against him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a horror movie. That's a fantasy movie. Do you get what I'm saying?
I get that.
The difference mm-hmm. is they have a tool.
Okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street 1. Mm-hmm. Freddy Krueger's coming out of the dreams and ripping people apart.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to fight him. It's a horror movie.
So it's powerless.
But she...
It's what Pete was saying. It's powerlessness.
It's powerlessness. Exactly. No, that's absolutely right.
Exactly.
I'm just reiterating what Pete said.
Yeah, it's powerlessness as
but
opposed to...
But in 3, mm-hmm. they figured out a way to fight him in the dreams.
Yeah.
Right.
Now it's a fantasy.
May I? Hang on.
Okay. We are the dream warriors.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm done.
Okay.
I've moved on.
Moving on.
I guess what personally gets me with horror movies, and they have to hit this, is I have to... Well, the biblical thing doesn't have to get in there. That's what I mean. I got Alien and The Thing. the biblical stuff usually will get me just because.
So
I
biblical
think it's
or aliens?
No,
so
but Satan's, but what really
like, demonic
gets me,
stuff scares
but
me.
What really gets me is I really have to believe that the characters are in the situation they are in, and this is the reason why 99.9% of horror films do not work for me, is because nobody acts like they're in a horror film, and it really drives me nuts. Almost everybody on the list, on my list, Jaws, The Shining, The Thing, The Exorcist, and Alien, all the people in there, to me, when I see that, I go, yep, I can identify with that. Mm-hmm. My ass would be, I'd fall apart. I would run. I would do, you know, I would, yeah, I wouldn't hook up with my freaking girlfriend upstairs after our best friend just got turned inside out and, you know, his blood dripping from the ceiling. Yeah. Just not, just, you know, right. It's not going to. You know,
I agree.
So, Aaron, the movie that would make you wet your pants would be an alien ship. An alien.
I'm about ready to. I'm going to pitch my show.
An alien Christian ship.
Yes.
With possession
I think you'd be afraid of Event Horizon.
Yeah. Okay. We're about ready to get into the point where I'm about ready to pitch my show.
Event Horizon, if it had been done right, would have been great.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But
I agree.
They just, you know, it's not a...
It was a poor idea. It was a poorly executed good idea.
Well, I just wanted to say, you guys have heard about what happened on the set of The Exorcist, right? Have
right.
you guys heard
with
about...
With the gun firing?
People have died. The little girl, they had her... when she's doing the stuff where she's going up and down in the bed. Yeah. They had her
Linda Blair
cinched.
Was jacked for years.
Her whole life. They had her cinched into this this sort of contraption so that she wouldn't hurt herself. Well, the straps broke. So when she's screaming there, she is really screaming. She's truly in pain. They destroyed her back with the paddle because she got whiplash all of a sudden because of that. I mean, there's...
Well, the director, Friedkin, is a complete idiot. I mean, he makes great movies, but he's like a used car salesman.
Yeah. And didn't he fire a gun next to
him? I heard he did that multiple times on the set, firing a gun to get the reaction.
Yeah. He didn't trust the actors to get reactions, so he'd shoot blanks off behind the actors' heads to get them to, like, shriek and stuff. And come on. I mean, it's just complete bullshit.
I heard that.
But anyway. But I was going to say, for me, that film embodies that whole concept of evil's, you know, more powerful than good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that film freaks me out in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me wonder what type of energy was going on there.
I think it's also, because he put a lot of bad energy into it. You know?
Well, the whole concept was, you know.
Yeah, you're screwed once you get the script. You know? When you pass the script out, that movie, that's some bad juju.
Exactly.
All right, so leading into, we're thinking about a movie we'd like to pitch if we were going to make our own sci-fi, our own horror. The reason why Event Horizon sparks that is because that movie was terrible, but the seed of that would be, I think, a great, great movie. And I would love to see another science fiction about what happens when you go too far in outer space and you start finding things that maybe end up, you know, some type of biblical or historical or spiritual thing happens out there that tweaks what's going on with
our
characters.
Very interesting. Could be cool.
I mean, Event Horizon was almost there, but the whole, like, ship that's possessed was so dumb. I just couldn't believe it. It was just so horrible. And
was it as bad as Winona Ryder in Alien 3?
I thought Winona Ryder was just fine.
They actually
Alien 4.
Changed the script when she was cast in order to remove all emotion and character from the role.
Let me explain something about
no.
Alien 4, she's the Jar Jar Binks of Alien 4. That movie, she was not the problem with that movie. Okay, sure, she was not great. But that movie sucks so hard that to blame Winona Ryder for that piece of shit movie is just wrong, wrong, wrong.
Aaron?
I'm sorry, girl, that you've been taking the heat for that piece of shit movie.
Aaron, that alien gave Ripley strength and speed and agility. But
she gave it a womb.
A womb!
What did she give it? A human womb.
I so didn't get that.
So
what? Like such a huge step back from what it was.
Don't even get me started. It gets me angry. Okay, so I want to hear your guys' pitch on a horror movie.
My pitch on a horror movie is based on ghost stories, but I still have yet to find one or an idea that scared the crap out of me as much as Poltergeist.
Ghost Story was pretty good.
Have
you seen that one?
No.
The one where the guys have a love triangle with a woman. and they fight over her. And what? And she's in the room as they're fighting, and in the middle of fighting, they hit her. She falls back and dies. So they put her in a car and throw her into the water and, like, bury it. And at the very last moment, as it's sinking, they see her in the car scratching as it goes down. And then, like, 20 years later, they start getting haunted and dying, and you figure out that she's coming back. It's good. It's a good movie. Ghost Story. Go rent it.
That's my talk. Okay. I want to record with you guys.
Yeah, okay, but
so you
I
want a ghost story.
I want a ghost story, but the thing is, the thing about the, I want to bring back that sense of powerlessness, of absolute helplessness with mine. I have these feelings that I would like to incur,
what
but I don't
Sixth
know.
Sense?
Sixth Sense was damn freaky, but you know what freaked me out about Sixth Sense? It was, there are a few scenes in Sixth Sense which scared the crap out of me. Otherwise, I just so enjoyed the film in so many other ways. There's the scene where he has his hands on the table and the mother turns around and every cupboard in the house is open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, the daughter vomiting on him, little girl vomiting on him.
Yeah, well, the whole little girl thing was
And him going up the stairs.
In the hole.
And in the hole
yeah.
with the guy who let me out, let me out, let me out. That's the end for me. But that exact moment is what I would want my horror film to be based around, is that, you know, I'm in here and not knowing what's going to happen to people when they end up in the room in the dark with mm-hmm. them. Didn't you tell me a story about a woman who fell down into a thing
UMass.
And broke her arm at UMass? That's,
did you want to hear a ghost story?
That's sure. I mean, this is what I'm talking about with Don's ghost
this
story.
This was a at UMass was a notorious UMass Amherst mm-hmm. has been there since the American Revolution. And there's a building there that there were secret passages in mm-hmm. that were supposed to help people escape if there was an uprising in the area,
mm-hmm.
right? So this woman was cleaning what's now the faculty house, right? Mm-hmm. And she's in the top floor, and she's cleaning a wall. And she leans against the chimney, and it gives way. And she falls from a secret passage from the top floor down to the bottom in the basement,
mm-hmm.
breaks her leg. Can't get out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as she's trying to struggle up, she realizes she's hearing voices in the dark of the basement around her.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, she gets really quiet, and these voices are arguing. And then she realizes they're aware of her, and they come towards her, and she describes she felt fists and teeth biting at her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's screaming for help. She claws her way up to the storm door, and she spends like an hour banging on the storm door while something is pummeling her and biting her. And finally, someone came by, ripped open the door, dragged her out, and there was no one in there with her.
Mm-hmm.
But she had bite marks all over her body. And what they found out later on was apparently the Tories had been rounded up in Amherst, put into this basement, and basically stored there. And a couple of them starved to death before they let them out. And
what the hell is going on? That's the essence of mine.
Again, being consumed, bitten, attacked, and you can't defend yourself.
Yes,
right.
All right. What do you guys have? You have a pitch?
Okay. I was driving along one day, and I was switching through the channels, and I came across this fundamentalist preacher who was talking about a conspiracy.
Yeah, God scares me too.
And what he was saying is that in the Bible, it talks about how Jesus came across this guy who was possessed,
mm-hmm.
and he went to go exorcise the spirit, and the spirit said, Don't throw me out. Don't throw me back to hell. Put me into that pig over there. So
mm-hmm.
he did. He put him into the pig, Legion. And the pig ran and threw itself off of a cliff to get rid of the demon that was inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he went on to explain that...
Is that why you're not supposed to eat pigs?
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea. So then he went on to explain that that only God can put... He connected this to something else. He went on to explain that only God can put – that demons need bodies
mm-hmm.
to inhabit the earth.
Right.
But only God can put the spark of life, a soul, into a body.
Right.
And he explained that when we start to clone people, they will be bodies without souls, which demons can then inhabit.
Mm. Interesting.
So I started thinking about this in reference to – now – take this and go look at what happened with the Nazis. One of the big things that they were doing was they were doing research on twins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And tons of their experiments had to do with twins, which, you know, in some ways has something kind of to do with cloning in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you know the boys from Brazil, you know. So I had this idea about this guy who his friend becomes something different. Mm-hmm. He's a scientist, and his friend is a scientist. His friend becomes something different, and he's not sure what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his friend's been taken over by something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's being attacked, and he thinks it's because, you know, of him noticing what's happening to his friend. So he starts to investigate, and what he gradually starts to realize is that there are clones that exist in our world,
mm-hmm.
and they exist from back from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as he investigates, what he realizes is that people, you know, the Nazis created these clones, but before they could do anything with them, the war ended and these clones were taken away. Okay.
And they're all getting old?
And now the Nazis have come back and they're finding these people, and they're putting demons into them.
Oh. Okay.
And what he gradually starts – you've got this funny look on your face. What he gradually starts to realize, though, is that actually the reason that they're after him too is because he's also a clone slated for possession. And on top of that, all of these people are clones of Nazi scientists, and he's a clone of Dr. Mengele.
Mengele.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who was, like, the worst of the worst.
Right. Right.
And so the end of it is, you know, Mengele is supposed to be dead, but he's actually alive, and it's him facing sort of his maker.
I was on board for half, Pete. I was on board for half, and then you lost me.
Yeah. You got a smile on your face.
Okay. Mine starts off with the story of Legion and clones.
Oh,
exact
really?
Exact same plot line.
Well, you know what? We should write it.
Well, except mine was slightly different. The concept behind mine is that from the moment of inception, there's a empty vessel, soulless vessel, ready for occupation.
Okay.
So the first demon that came back was the one closest to mankind, the one who was most recently truly cast out.
Yeah.
Legion.
Okay.
And so Legion has many names and many voices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
many aspects. He's Legion. So the concept was he inhabited the first clone, but then a portion of him went into each and every following clone. So all clones have the same hive mind demon soul.
Okay.
And what they've been doing is they've been cooperating all along. No, we're just people. They blend in with society. They're gifted. It's funny, a lot of these clones seem to have unusual gifts, talents, skills. Some of them have become public leaders.
Yeah.
And all of them are the same person. And
interesting.
Trying to achieve
so it's like
the same
a conspiracy horror.
Conspiracy horror.
There's something in between there.
So. Yeah.
Cool. Excellent.
That's really
good
weird.
Good pitches.
That's very weird.
I'll green light all of them.
Okay.
Well, I guess the last thing we want to do is we actually had somebody call in for a question for Dear Demon Lord.
Excellent.
So let me put that up on the board and have let you have a listen, and the Demon Lord can then answer.
Excellent.
Hello, this is Jim in Buffalo, and I've got a question for the Demon Lord. My question is, should we be teaching intelligent design in our public school science classes? That's my question. I'll take my answer off the air. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you for your question, Jim from Buffalo. First of all, let me get this straight. You're asking a demon from hell about intelligent design, whether or not God created everything. Well, duh. I mean, now, as to the question of intelligence, I mean, he failed creation 101. Twice. He has 12 billion years to do the assignment, and he waits till the last minute, and he does it in 7 days. I mean, oh, for God's sake. He can't even program TiVo. Intelligent design, I mean, men have nipples. Nipples, for Norgoth's sake. Does that sound intelligent? It's just lazy. And a platypus, I mean, that's because he didn't read the directions. And he had all these leftover parts at the end of the assembly. I mean, intelligent. Not only that, but all these physical laws, but they only work in certain circumstances, in a specific time frame, under ideal conditions. I mean, can you imagine if your car only worked if it was going 30 on a one-way street on Wednesdays? Oh, but we'll gloss over that, because he's God. Whoop-de-frickin-do. Now you guys are trying to figure it all out. I really feel sorry for you all, but you'd want us demons to help you out? Give you a cheat sheet or even an owner's manual? No. Then it's you're trying to trick me, blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. Science is the study of God's mess. Trying to make sense of a physical world that was created in a couple of days on virtually no money. Because he's cheap, too. Remember that 40-day, 40-night flood? I'm shutting down the humans for being bad? Bullpookie. I'll let you in on a little secret. He used shoddy materials that were only good for about 18 billion years, and look what happens. The whole thing breaks, and there's leaks everywhere. That's why Jesus was a carpenter. He needed to come down and do some repair work before the whole thing went kaflooey. Let me give you an analogy. If the universe is a car, science is the owner's manual. It tells you how the car works. And faith is the OnStar navigational system, a voice from beyond who guides you on your road. The problem is the manual is in Japanese and the OnStar operator is a narcoleptic. Thanks, Jim.
Excellent.
Well, thank you, Demon Lord, for helping our listeners out.
Thanks,
God,
Demon Lord.
I hate the sulfur.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Just leaves you know that what? Smell in the room.
We should install...
Oh, no, that wasn't him. That was me.
Oh. We should install a kind of an air system in our multi-million dollar studio. Whenever the Demon Lord visits, we just pipe that sulfur right out.
That'd be good.
Why didn't you do that when you did in the first place? We knew.
I know.
We're recording with Peter, for God's sakes.
Right.
I know. I'll get that installed.
Okay.
Well, because we have an extra long show this time, we'll save our viewer mail till next week.
Can I give my link?
Yes, you can give your link.
I have one link, very simple, very easy. It's the etchamac.com. And what it is that they have custom laser etches for your PowerBooks or your iPods, and you can make them look slicky cool. So check it out.
Are those the guys who made the new wooden iPod slipcover?
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, it's very cool. I've seen that.
Yeah, they funky.
So, excellent.
Excellent.
More crap for your iPod.
Yes.
Everybody's right. Making money. Anybody else before
That's
we
it.
Wrap it up?
Nope.
Excellent. Next time, we'll also, I want to talk about some of our listeners' new podcasts. Because a lot of our people who are listening to us are now starting up their own podcasts.
Excellent.
So we should talk about that next time.
It's the Geek Grenade
Effect.
Part of the
Geeks On family.
That's right. So, I hope everyone has a good Geek Week.
Be well, y'all.
That's right. You guys are looking at me like, huh? Yeah.
Wrap this up quick.
Excellent. All right. Geek it out. Rock it
out. Have a great week, kids.
Geek it out. Geek it out.
Geek it out.